Welcome to the Black Heels and Tractor Wheels podcast, where we are sharing stories from a range of women from around New Zealand.
For nearly a century, Rural Women New Zealand has been dedicated to strengthening and supporting women and children to become empowered members of their communities.
We hope that by hearing these stories from inspiring women all around the country, you'll feel inspired yourself.
We're your hosts, Emma Higgins and Claire Williamson, and would love for you to join and subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss our rural stories.
The name, in a way, kind of gives away, but it might not. Tell us a little bit more if we start right back at the journey of Laura McDonald. Have you always been a country girl?
Yes, so I have. I grew up on a farm in Te Pahu, which is just underneath Mount Porongia. And I lived there for my entire childhood. We grew up there and it was so great. We loved it. And then we had a brief stint. I moved in town to go to university into Hamilton, and then travelled overseas, lived in London for a little while, and then so extreme opposite to rural life, and then moved back with my now husband. Actually, we travelled overseas together back to Te Ako, which is where he grew up. So we moved right back to the house he actually grew up in.
Oh my gosh.
Which is where we live now.
Full circle. How good is that?
Full circle. Yeah, so good. So good.
Tell us a little bit about the man named Josh that features quite heavily on all your socials.
Yeah, no, I shouldn't have glossed over it because he's a catcher. We actually met when I was at university and we had both been planning to go overseas together. We'd both been planning to go overseas, and then we met and decided, okay, well, let's just go overseas together then. We had been together, I think, like a few months when we booked our ticket, and then less than a year after we got together we moved to London, which was, we're like, well, this will make or break it. And it was a great decision. It was awesome. We traveled together, had the absolute best time of our lives, and then moved back together, and then got married. That's it.
Nothing like a casual, hey, let's just go to the other side of the world together and just see if it sticks.
Well, we figured we were going anyway, and if it didn't work, we'd just go our separate ways. But I think we both knew it was going to work.
Yeah, nice. So tell me a little bit about that London experience, because I find this fascinating, particularly from someone who's come from, you described yourself as, you know, living on your farm right through childhood. Uh-huh. And then moving into Hamilton, which is like, yes, it's a city, but it's also not a city when we're talking about the big smoke of London.
Pretty so, small, really.
Tell me a little bit about that experience. Like, good, bad, did you love it? Did you hate it? Was it somewhere in between?
So we loved it. It was never, ever going to be a long-term thing for us. We both knew for sure we were going to do our 2 years. We got our two-year visa, and neither of us had any interest in sticking out long-term. We had lots of friends who moved over there, did their 2 years, and loved it so much that they stuck around. I think we both knew that was never going to be that, but that was never going to work for us. Yeah, so we did. I think we lived there for just over a year, but we did a good 6 months of traveling on our way home. So, which was great. That was the whole point of going to London and basing ourselves there. It was just purely to do as much travel as we could around Europe. We did the States as well. And we did that. We traveled, we saw a heap. We did lots of lots of really cool things. So it was lots of fun.
Awesome. So then you come right back full circle and back to the country, as the name suggests, Kiwi country girl. Tell us a little bit about how this idea started and about those early days.
Okay, so I actually kept a travel blog while we were overseas, instead of sending a million emails to everyone know what we were up to, I just wrote it all on a blog, and I really loved it. I really enjoyed the process. I loved the writing, the photos, the storytelling. It was just right up my alley. So when we got home, we were getting set up with, you know, moving into a new house and chickens and starting a veggie garden, doing all those things. And so I thought, hey, why not carry on with the blog, except I made a new one. Was actually called originally The Weekend Homesteader, because I was working in town during the week. So I was doing this 9 to 5 in town in Hamilton, coming home in the weekend and just living my best life, basically. So I pretty much just started sharing. I mean, if you go way back, and they're still there, you can go way back in the archives of my blog, please don't, but And there are just, you know, random posts about pigs and chickens and them destroying my veggie garden and just absolute rubbish, really.
Amazing. So tell us a little bit about how your brand and your following has changed over time from those early days where, I mean, we've all got remnants of our past somewhere in the internet. Yours is a little bit more public than others. So tell us a little bit about how that journey of Kiwi Country Girl has kind of changed over the last few years.
Yeah, sure. So I was sharing just sort of bits and pieces of what we were up to. And then I actually challenged myself one year, I think it was 2015 actually, to make something new, cook something new from scratch, or make something that I would normally buy at the supermarket from scratch. And I wanted to try one new thing a week for the whole year. And so I started doing that and I published those recipes on my website and I enjoyed sharing it. It was really fun. And I had a Facebook page at the time and then like a email newsletter, and that sort of stuff started going really well. And so, there was a lot of interest in, I think one of the very first ones I published was my burrito spice mix, which is like a Mexican seasoning. And that to this day is still one of my top recipes on my website. It's so popular and it's one of our favorites too. Yeah, so I kind of got started really enjoying sharing the recipes and developing and trying new things. Yeah, it started driving traffic to my website. And then I sort of started looking around and thinking, okay, this is people making a thing of this food blog. Why not? Like, I'll give it a crack too. So I kept sharing recipes, mostly recipes for a while, actually. I kind of went down that avenue because that's what was driving traffic to my website. And then at that point, so it was all about sort of seeing how many people I could get, you know, to see, visit my website every day and every month. And it was really exciting, really fun to see. And I think at that point, I changed the name from The Weekend Homesteader. I was like, okay, well, if I'm going to make a sort of a real, you know, go of this, then I'll, you know, change it to The Kiwi Country Girl. I don't know. I think when I was trying to come up with a name, it was really hard because I was doing lots of recipes, but I also didn't want to, you know, limit myself to only sharing recipes. I knew that wasn't something I wanted to do. And that was such a good decision. I'm so glad I kept it broad because now I've kind of come back full circle again, where I share a whole lot of gardening content and preserving and sort of rural lifestyle stuff, which is awesome. I love sharing that. That's what I'm really super passionate about. And it's nice that it kind of still fits in with, you know, I didn't call my blog cooking, you know, like anything with recipes or something in the title, which was good. So finally jumped on the Instagram bandwagon after I was not keen. I was like, oh, I don't really love social media that much. I'm not sure about this Instagram thing. And turns out that's now my favorite place to hang out. So
tell me a little bit about how COVID may or may not have influenced on the Kiwi Country Girl and in particular the following side of things. We'll touch on some of these other points that you've raised in a moment, but if we just start off with COVID, has that had like a positive impact or not so positive on you as like a brand and also your following?
So that very first lockdown was amazing for my blog. It was the best thing that happened to it, and it feels weird to you know, kind of take success out of a really terrible time. Like, it was a really hard time for a lot of people, but it was actually really, really great for us because of where we live. And my husband, they've got a farm and a stock truck company. So it doesn't, like, nothing changed for any of us. I didn't have kids at school at the time. We just carried on with our day-to-day life. But all of a sudden, everyone was at home baking and cooking and wanting to learn how to make bread and all the things that we were doing anyway. So I started sharing more of that, and I started doing bake-alongs a couple of days a week, which were really popular. People loved that. Yeah, so my followers on Instagram grew from 8,000 to 12,000 in that lockdown period, it was just insane.
It's huge.
I worked harder, I think, in that lockdown than I ever had, just replying to messages and helping out with recipes and baking and stuff, which is cool. It was great. It was a really great thing to happen for my blog, which was, you know, good that we could pull something positive out of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I read something about you somewhere, again on the deep dark internet, that you mentioned that this now, what you've got in terms of your brand and your following, mm-hmm. it could be a full-time job, but at this point in time, it's part-time. Can you just tell us a little bit more about what that comment means?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm running a blog. There's so much that goes into it. I'm running a website and the various social media channels and creating content and sharing content and making ebooks. I do that as well. And there are just, I could easily fill in a 40 hour plus week working on my website alone. Just that even. But I have 3 kids, so I can't. One day I will. But it's cool. It's exciting because I'm really lucky that I can just sort of fit in around nap times and when kids are in bed, and sort of I can work as much, in those small areas, small margins of time that I've got. And still make, it's an income. It's bringing in a full-time income for me, even though I'm only working on it, how many hours I can squeeze into a week. But that is as a result of 7 years of building it up and getting it to the place that it's at now, which was a lot easier when I was working, had no kids, and then only had 1 kid and 2 kids.
Yeah, and now you've got 3. So then, so how do you balance and manage it all? You've kind of alluded to it now, and it seems like your oldest one is at school, is that right?
She just started school, just at the beginning of this term. So baby is 5, and then we've got Macy who's 3 and Finn who's almost 1.
Okay, well I think this is amazing, right, for you to be able to squeeze in all this stuff with 2 at home, and then the third or the eldest running around after her as well in terms of the school pickup and drop off. That's pretty incredible. Do you have any other support networks, or how do you make time for yourself as part of this?
Yeah, we have an amazing support network to start with. That is really important to know, because I know not everybody has that, and we do. My in-laws live right next door. We can call out to them and they are extremely involved in our lives, which is amazing. We're so lucky. And Josh works on site as well, so he often pops up at lunchtime or now he's with the kids now, which is really great too. And so and the kids do lots with me as well. They love helping me in the kitchen, they love helping in the garden. They're great kids, they're really crazy kids. They just kind of potter around with me, whatever I'm doing, which is really helpful too during the day. And then for me, this blog, my website and all of that is kind of what I do for me. It's a job, but it doesn't feel, I actually never started out as being a job, and it doesn't feel like a job or like work. I really enjoy doing it. So, once you're in bed in the evenings, I am really excited to sit down and work on it a little bit, which is really nice. I'm lucky to have something that is enjoyable, and it's so good. I think it's a good thing to have something that's not just the kids for me too.
Absolutely. What sort of advice, if you could only give one piece of advice, maybe 2 if you've got a list, what would you say to someone who might be thinking about starting up something like this, or that that they're in the very early stages of the concept or beginning stages of their project?
So I heard a piece of advice I've got a couple of good ones, and I've heard them both before, and they are every time I'm sort of feel like I'm drowning and I have a lot to do and I'm just not getting it done. One of them is 1% infinity. So if you just improve by 1% every day forever, then that's going to add up over time. So it's just getting a little bit done at a time, and whatever time you've got to work on it, just do it, just get it done. It's very easy to sit there and feel overwhelmed by all the things there are to do, because there's always a lot. There is always too many things to do and not enough hours in the day, but getting stressed out about it, it does not achieve anything. Just sitting down and taking 5 minutes to do one little job is all it takes. And over time, it doesn't feel like much at the time. Sometimes you think, oh, I've only got 5-10 minutes to spend on this. Is it even worth it? Yeah, it is. It is, because if you don't do it, then that all adds up. But if you do, 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, an hour there, when you get it, just slowly chip away at it. And also, this is a really good one too, I think, is that progress is like progress over perfection. So, and just actually getting it done. So I am really guilty of getting caught up in not sharing something or not publishing something if I don't think it's quite perfect. But in actual fact, sometimes I'm better just to get it out there and just to share an idea or something that I'm doing, even if I'm not exactly how I imagined it to be. It doesn't matter, because even if it's just an idea, obviously recipes are different. I am really particular about those and I won't share them until they're perfect. But other things, yeah, it pays not to get too caught up in things being just exactly right before you launch something or start something. So if you're, you know, thinking about starting a website or a social media page, just do it. Just get out there and do it and the rest will come.
Yeah, I love that. I think you're so right around the perfectionism side of things. It's, gosh, it's a real challenge, isn't it, for those that have those traits. And you're speaking to a sister over here who knows exactly what that's like. So I fully get you. Just getting it out the door is better than just sitting on and waiting for it to be 100%, because sometimes it will never get there.
That's exactly right. And that's happened to me a lot of times. I've still got stuff that I'm sitting on and waiting, you know, because I just haven't quite got there yet. And it's like, actually, just get it out there. It doesn't matter.
So one of my fears around things like that, I think one of my drivers is around perhaps feedback and not so nice feedback. Is that something that you find a challenge for you to deal with, or that doesn't seem to bother you, or you don't get it?
Do you know what, I don't get it. I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting to be like trolled online. But no, but seriously, I have, and I think it's because I have the most amazing followers. Like everyone on my Instagram page, my Facebook page, they're just the loveliest group of people. And I just so supportive and encouraging of me. And, you know, they love what I share. And it maybe just got lucky. I don't know. But it's pretty great. I'm really lucky, because it's not that way for everybody online.
I'm so pleased for you. That's awesome. Number one. And number two, yes, girlfriend, you have some great followers by the sounds of things. How good is that?
Really great.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah. So something that I researched about you as well is around your self-sufficiency goal, which I think is awesome. So can you just tell me a little bit more about that? And where did it come from? And where are you at on that process?
Yeah, so that is something that has changed a lot over the years too. You know, it's a lot easier to think you can be really self-sufficient and do it all yourself before you have kids. And then suddenly you have kids. And it's like, oh, actually, I'm a little bit short on time now. But I still really love the idea of it. We try to grow as much of our own fruit and vegetables as we can. Fruit, not so easy for us, but vegetables anyway, and raise a lot of our own meat. So we do meat birds from time to time. We get sheep and beef from the farm, which is really good. We raise pigs as well, so it's nice to be able to have that coming. You know, we're doing that ourselves, which is really nice. And then making things as well in the kitchen. So there's a lot of things, like I try not to buy ready-made meals, ingredients, things like that. I just love cooking from scratch. But I actually heard the other day a really, really cool term: community sufficiency rather than self-sufficiency. And I thought that was really, really awesome. And I think it's a really cool idea as well, because actually, yeah, we can do so much. We can do as much as we can ourselves, but especially living rurally too, I think it's a nice kind of idea that actually, you know, we maybe don't need to just rely on ourselves, but our community as well, which is quite cool. So for us, like, we raise pigs, but we don't butcher them ourselves, but one of our neighbors does. So we were able to go down a little while ago and go see what he was doing and watch him, like, the process of that, which is so learning from him, so that maybe one day we will be able to do that ourselves. Yeah, just kind of learning from other people. And if we can grow something really well but our neighbor can't, and they might grow something really well we can't, we can just switch. Just something like that is quite nice too. But I do love the idea of doing as much as we can, sort of being less reliant on shops and, you know, other people providing food for us. It's nice to be able to do it yourself.
Community sufficient. What an awesome concept. I'm totally going to take that one, because I was actually reflecting on that this morning, just around, you know, how communities have changed over time and what does a community look like now. And it's obviously different for different people. But I love that it is community sufficient is a great way of talking about how we could potentially get a little bit more ambitious with what we're trying to do. Take it from the individual into the collective, and how we can empower people and bring them along the way as well. Yeah, that is neat.
Exactly. And I can't remember where I heard it. And I wish I was trying to think where I'd actually heard that term, because it certainly was not something I came up with. And I need to find out where I heard it from so I can go back and say, oh, yeah, you're onto a good thing here. I thought it was a really, really great thing.
And so, okay, you've had like quite a crazy couple of years if you pile it all up, particularly around COVID and like your brand and your presence really growing tremendously in that period. Mm-hmm. And now you've got Sadie starting school. Yeah. What will the next 12 months look like for you personally, but also maybe for Kiwi Country Girl as well?
Yeah, so we're actually mid major house renovations at the moment. So the next 12 months is, yeah, just throw that into the mix. You know, we needed something else to deal with. So that's taking up a big chunk of our time at the moment. And, you know, just keeping three kids alive is also pretty important. But in terms of the blog, I've actually got a really cool project that I've been working on that is, you know, I'm getting ready to launch it. And it's actually a membership site. So that's, yeah, which is, you know, again, why not, you know, no time like the present. And again, this is something that I've been sitting on for years. I've wanted to do it. I think the very first time I jotted something about this down was back in 2017. When I was just home, I just finished work, I was home with Sadie as a baby. And so I had all these ideas of things I wanted to do. And again, I've decided to just finally hit play on it because it's something that I think there's a real need for. So what it is it's going to be a membership, monthly membership site where every month we will focus on a specific topic sort of around the homesteading sort of rural lifestyle that we live. So, you know, month one will be sourdough bread, and we will do a really deep dive into the whole process, into making a starter, making the different kinds of bread, how it all works. And and then every month there'll be a different topic around like gardening, cooking from scratch, raising animals, all that sort of thing, which is, I'm so excited about it. It's a real chance for me to kind of share in a lot of detail the stuff that I'm super passionate about that we do every day. Awesome. I think there is a real want for people to learn about as well, which will be cool. And then again, build a community of people who are interested in the same thing, because that's something that social media, and I have an amazing group of followers, but it's very one-sided, the interaction. So I get to talk to a heap of people, which is great, but then there's so many people, I'm like, oh, I think you guys would actually, like, you know, you live in the same area and you probably would get on quite well. So I think it'll be quite cool to be able to have a group where they can get to know each other too and chat, and we can all share ideas and learn from each other. And so anyway, that's coming up, and I'm super excited about it. It's gonna be lots of fun, I think.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. And in a way, it's like the community sufficient piece, but you're just taking it online. Exactly. And spreading the love.
Yeah.
And then therefore more and more of these flourishing communities then thrive in different parts of New Zealand.
Exactly. Cool. So cool. Yeah. I am super, super pumped about it. I think it's going to be great.
All the very best wishes to you. I can't wait to see what unfolds, because that is just super neat. We'll be watching with a close eye. And going back to your personal side of things, oh my God, yes, just keeping three children alive is, well done you. Pat on the back.
Feels enough. Some days that's about all I get done, but that's okay.
That is okay, because you've also got the house renovations on the side as well. And, you know, like health and safety with three tiny children is a lot.
It's a challenge.
Well, we're just so pumped to watch where this goes. All the very best of luck. We can't wait to see and watch and cheer from the sidelines. So thank you so much for your time. It's just been incredible learning a bit more about you. Thank you.